Put aside the ego and embrace the moment.
That's not the moment that you're embracing right now.
Oh, dear.
Regardless, it's time for another midweek drive transcontinental adventure.
19 is one of those numbers, which is particularly interesting given our next guest, because it was on the 19th of December, 2019, that, of course, she made her debut on Midweek Drive. Then she came back on the 19th of February, 2020. It's not the 19th now, but it's January 2021, and we are delighted to welcome back once again to the Midweek Drive the creator of Finagles and all manner of wonderful things. Yes, we need more Finn Bartusiak and a whole heap of other goodies. It's the wonderful, amazingly talented Christine Raymond. How are you, Christine?
Hello. Hello, Alex. I'm great. How are you? Happy 2021.
Yes, absolutely. And proving that we're in the future, Christine, we can actually see each other. It's a genuine video call as opposed to just being on the telephone and into a radio studio. So great news there. So Christine, Finagle has obviously developed. I know when we spoke to you beforehand, we were talking about Finagle and all sorts of references tying with Star Trek, etc. But this is part of the Finn's Finds mysteries. And it seems as though you're not making life for young Finn Bartusiak particularly interesting. what have we got here? We've got a whole range of adventures. Finn, who has got an unidentified dead body, an antique wooden box, and a mother who's determined to actually marry her off, again, in the seaside town of Port New. It sounds almost as though you could be talking about, you know, Jessica's life in North Carolina. Welcome, Jessica Burtis. How are you, Jessica?
Hello, I am well. How are you both?
Marvelous. Jessica.
So, I mean, forgive me, I think I originally should have checked out the geography here. Kentucky and North Carolina, not near, close by, nearby? I mean, I don't know.
Closer than London.
Absolutely. Yeah, closer than London. I think we'll stick with that, Christine. What sort of a year have you had since we last spoke? Because, of course, actually, Jessica was on the program back in February 2019 when you made your second journey to the show. So, you know, again, we're connecting together in wonderful ways. She's one of our ace midweek drivers. So, Christine, how has it been for your good self as we speak from fully locked down United Kingdom, now in its third lockdown, and... who knows whether the vaccinations will work? We'll just have to wait and see, I suppose.
You know, it's been pretty good. It was an interesting 2020 for not just me, but a lot of people. My writing was kind of on hold, but I was concentrating at that time on my podcast, which has since gone on hiatus so that I can return to writing. So the big news is that there will be a second Finn's Finds book coming later this year.
That's more than a fine. That's a general sort of superb system. Jessica, we'll turn to you straight away. Any questions you'd like to put to Christine about Finn's Finds or any other aspects, since, of course, you connected with us back in February?
I had a little look at your bibliography of everything, and I saw that you have a lot of genres. So I was kind of curious as to how, do you have a favorite genre to write in?
I don't know that I so much have a favorite. It's kind of whatever I'm working on at the time. I started out in historical Western because I love that era. And then as I'm writing, it's like, okay, well, I want to try contemporary romance. And then I want to try cozy mystery. And it just, it's kind of whatever comes to me.
I mean, the cozy mystery, I find astounding, because, I mean, it's just the sense of a cozy mystery. It's sort of, it's a mystery, but at least we've got our comfort rugs and comfort blankets with us. So it's quite cozy, really.
Exactly. Well, and the definition of a cozy mystery is one where the murder happens off the page. So the readers don't mind reading about the dead bodies. They just don't want the detail of how that person ended up in that predicament.
Critical, absolutely critical. So briefly returning to Finn's Finds, of course, coming into possession of a 19th century bronze and mahogany writing box under somewhat suspicious circumstances, Finn's accidental discovery of a coded note leads her and Spencer Dane, best-selling novelist and love of her life, though he doesn't know it yet, on a quest to unravel the mystery behind the jumble of letters. But they're not the only ones interested in the cryptic message. There's a con man on their trail, and he'll stop at nothing, including murder, to claim the treasure for himself. Yeah, I know. Shocking. I mean, yes. I'm getting vibes of Heart to Heart, mixed with lashings of Romancing the Stone and various others. You know, the first time Finn met, it was murder. You know, it's that sort of line, really.
Yeah.
are those areas that you've been influenced by? I mean, in fact, were you a keen murder mystery reader in sort of years gone by?
Not really. I like thrillers, which is what originally Finn's Finds or Finagled was supposed to be, a thriller. I love reading thrillers. I love the whole, you know, fast pace, you know, on the trail of the, you know, of the killer or whoever it is, and that whole thing. And when I started writing, it just took on this humorous tone, and Finn is just so quirky, and she emerged as just this character that just had to fit into a cozy mystery instead. And that's what happened. And she has all of these mysterious and precarious things happen to her, and she's not really prepared for it because, you know, she's not a detective. She's just a, you know, an antique shop owner, but she has no problem like stepping up to the challenge and just plowing ahead regardless of what the people around her are telling her to do. And she has fun doing it.
So is she a kind of younger version of Jessica Fletcher then? You know, not so much murder she wrote, but, you know, kind of antique shop owner, or younger version of Miss Marple? Are there areas there? Or is she more Nancy Drew, and a slightly elder, more mature version of Nancy Drew?
Probably more along the lines of the Nancy Drew, although I believe, if I remember way back when, Nancy kind of liked being a detective. You know, she sort of took that mantle upon herself. And Finn just isn't there. I mean, Finn is naturally curious. So when she finds this message, she's like, oh, I want to break the code. And that was kind of her sole purpose in the book. But then because there's someone else after it, she kind of gets pulled into all of these situations that are happening. And the police are just kind of dismissing it like, no, you know, it's all in your head. And Spencer's like, yeah, you know, even though I'm a novelist, you're still thinking way outside of the box. But in the end, it turns out she was right.
Well, I mean, presumably you have to think outside the box when you're dealing with 19th century bronze and mahogany writing box, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the beast, you know. I mean, it's not as nice blue sky thinking, it's thinking outside the box. The clue is
That's
there.
Right. Yep. That's right.
There, Christine. Absolutely. Jessica, back to you.
Yeah, I would like to ask where you get your inspiration from primarily, or does it change from book to book?
It changes from book to book, but also things just pop into my head. I'd like to say that I sit down and follow, you know, a step-by-step procedure to get my ideas, but that's not how it happens. I can be doing anything. I can be washing my dishes. I can be watching a television program. I can be driving. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. That'll work. Or I could have her do this. Or why didn't I think of that? And you know, it's one of those questions that's a great question, and I wish I had a really easy answer for, but I don't know where it comes from. Yes, I was bored with it. I don't know.
Yeah, spontaneous.
It clearly comes from the cosmos. That's the key thing.
That's right.
The universe actually returns to that. Curious, I'm just looking at the titles, the headlines of your first sort of journey with us, Christine, and it was Christine Raymond, Flash Fiction Winners and Festive Dips in the Northern Irish Sea. It seemed like such a pleasant time back in 2019 on that basis. And then, of course, on the 19th of February, Christine Raymond, The Definition of Success and Fighting Hamsters. Which was curious. I don't quite remember. I mean, I don't know if Jessica, you remember the Fighting Hamsters, but apparently they were very much in place there. Maybe we should just download. No. It's 19th of February. Yeah. Fighting Hamsters. I mean, I'm thinking it could be a whole new genre.
I don't remember anything about Fighting Hamsters.
Well, it just goes to show, at least if you go back to our website, you can always outline and detail those out there. Thank you. Really? We spent an entire show doing Fighting Hamsters? Mickey didn't tell me anything about this. What's going on here? Outrageous. Jessica is coming to the end of her university degree time at the wonderful Appalachia State University. And I know she's going to be a fantastic writer. That's assuming she doesn't run for 2024 candidacy in President of the United States.
But hey, go for it, Jessica.
They're letting everybody into Washington. You just actually march up there, you get to the White House automatically. You know, it's crazy times. So, yes. Step aside, I think. So Christine, any thoughts or advice that you give for Jessica in terms of the writing side and developing that creativity?
Honestly, Jessica, just follow your heart. I mean, trust what's inside you. Trust your instincts when you're writing. You know, there's a way to write where you want to follow the correct, grammar rules and punctuation and structure and all of that. But at the heart of it is just the story you want to tell. So just tell it, honestly. That's all I can say. And congratulations on finishing up your education there. That's great.
Thank you. It'll be an interesting semester, but hopefully I can get through it one piece.
Do you have an idea of what genre you want to write in or what you want to write?
Definitely fiction. Something within fantasy, I think. I'm not quite ready for sci-fi, but fantasy would definitely be what I want.
Excellent. Good luck.
Thank you.
I think it's fair to say that Jessica will forever be referred to, together with her peers, as the COVID graduate generation, effectively, the online yeah. graduate generation, the first genuinely online people, or the mask wearers, perhaps. That might be another line you guys use.
Yes.
Christine, let's move on to Hidden Springs, because this is very much, I suppose, the romance side of things. Hearts on Fire, Abby's Heart, Here to Stay, A Chance on Love, A Will of Her Own, Dancing in the Dark, Coming Home, Worth the Gamble, Enduring Traditions. Do you have any favourites in terms of those? I mean, you say, yes, ultimately, Worth the Gamble is always my number one.
Here to Stay will probably always be a favorite because it was the first in the series and the first book that I ever wrote and published. So that holds a really special place in my heart. Plus, it launched Hidden Springs. When I sat down to write that book, I thought it was only going to be one book. And by the time I was finished writing, I had plans for 7 other books. And since then, number 9... I apologize. My dog's trying to get in the office.
It's okay. It's always nice to have a canine friend on a Zoom call. We welcome them.
And then I'll let out a little sneak peek here for your watchers, your listeners. There will be a 10th Hidden Spring book coming this year. Okay. Yay! But I love them all. I really do.
That's the reason why your dog was so excited. He basically yes. was saying, tell him about the next one. God, you can't just sort of say he or she's in the background there. What's the canine's name? And what is she like? Come on, share with us, Christine.
I believe that was Monk, and he is a 6-month-old beagle. Last year I got beagle siblings, Monk and Moxie, and then also a basset hound puppy, Maisie. So they were I was hoping they would stay quiet and take their nap, but obviously he woke up and he wants in the office, so he's scratching at the door.
it's very important to actually give beagles attention because that's what they're all about. Yes. In fact, I can almost hear the Disney Corporation hammering at your door, Christine, saying, we need this series about beagles. We have the paper. Sign here, please, Christine. We want more beagles on network television.
Come on. Bring it on.
he's like a little writing assistant.
That's right. He wants to be.
Yeah, if in doubt and you're suffering from lack of inspiration, not that you would be, Christine, call on the Beagles. Call on Beagle Power. That's
important. Well, in the Finagled books, or in the Finn Spines books, Finn has a beagle named Garfunkel, a basset hound named Garfunkel, and he was based off of my basset hound, Bruno, who passed away last year. So Bruno was my writing inspiration.
Exactly. It's not so much BFFs as beagle friends forever. You know, that's the
that's
key.
That's right. Or basset friends.
Or basset just, friends forever. Exactly.
I just call them the hounds of the Raymondville.
Yeah, what are you doing there? And then, of course, we come to Celebration with By Dawn's Early Light, Reservations, Under the Mistletoe, and the Celebration series, of course. Talk to us about Celebration and why it's more than just celebrate good times, as indeed Casey and the Sunshine Band once gave to us back in the day. Before you were born, Jessica, it has to be said, but you may be familiar with the tune. What the heck?
Well, By Dawn's Early Light was the first book in that trilogy, and I put that in an anthology that I had released with 6 other authors. And again, supposed to be a standalone. And one of my readers loved the story so much that she hounded me in a great way, but she just repeatedly asked for sequels. She wanted to know more about the other characters in that town. So I ended up writing Reservations for Two and Under the Mistletoe. And the Celebration series is actually just a box set with the three books where readers can get them all in one collection. But again, a little bit of news, and this, I don't have a date for this. I don't know when this will happen, but I have been toying with the idea of a fourth Celebration book. So that may just happen. But those are all contemporary romance.
You got to release something now. You got rid of President Trump, finally, but still, never mind. we'll have the same with respect to Boris Johnson. No, don't go political. That's another line entirely. But if Christine, you happen to find several hundred thousand votes that Donald says were his, just ignore it. Okay, just put it to one side. Okay, you might be wandering through the streets of Kentucky and say whatever. Right words. I love the pun that you've actually used here. WRITE as opposed to RIGHT. Right words. Is that a guide to sort of specialist writing? Is it just a case of, well, you like the title, you're going to write something?
It's just a really short, humorous book about my first year as an indie author. It's not a how-to guide. I don't do any step-by-step instruction or anything like that, but it's why I decided to start writing. It's some of the different experiences I had during that first year. I went into self-publishing knowing nothing at all. So it was, you know, learning what a formatter is and how to, you know, the difference between a Mobi and an EPUB and things like that. But I also put in there, you know, some of the more personal things that I found dealing with other authors and the competition that I don't believe needs to exist, but it exists nonetheless. And it just different things that happened to me during my first year as an indie author.
And obviously, your wonderful beagle in the background agrees. Little chirp of joy there. Fantastic. I mean, I must admit, we cover have covered the last couple of years, the Kindle Awards, the Amazon Awards, and they're becoming extremely popular. We also feature Sam Stone fairly regularly. She, Samantha Lee Howe, sort of had number one bestsellers and various other things. And this very feature, actually, the Author of the Week, which we're delighted to feature yourself on, Christine, is very much in keeping with that. So I think probably the stigma that used to apply to being self-published, there used to be kind of snobbery, I think, in the business, which actually said that, oh, if you publish by yourself, that's, put it away. That's actually gone, and I think, and thankfully, it's a case of if the stories are good, they should be there and maintained. I mean, Christine, is that something which you would say? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I agree with you entirely, because what it comes down to is the readers are the ones who decided. You know, they said, we don't care who publishes this book. They don't look to see if it's Random House or Simon & Schuster or Christine Raymond. They don't care. They want a good book, an entertaining book, and they will read what is out there. And there are a lot of authors who have proven that point over and over again who are highly successful independent authors. There are, you know, many, many hybrid authors who are both traditionally published and self-published. I mean, there are still some factions that kind of look their nose down a little bit if you're an indie author, if you're self-published, but for the most part, people don't care. They just want a good story. Oh. So, you know, deliver an entertaining, great characters, great plot, make sure it's clean as far as, you know, again, punctuation, grammatical errors, spelling, things like that. And put it out there and people will read it.
And it is a global market. It's probably worth noting as well that when Christine refers to herself as an indie author, that doesn't mean she's based in Indiana. I know it's an easy confusion to make, but, you know, obviously, if you are in Indiana, then you could well be an indie author from Indiana. But it's a different line, though.
You'd be an indie author.
It could take us down a rabbit hole, Christine, which maybe we'd rather just step away from at present, because maybe even the best beagles and basset hounds in the world couldn't ferret us out of that one. What the heck? Jessica, any other thoughts from yourself?
I have to ask, what do you want readers to take away when they've read your books? Like, what do you want them to think?
I want them to close that book and say, that was worth it. That was worth the time I just spent reading that story. I was entertained, whether it made me happy, sad, angry, whatever the emotion. And basically, I want to bring out emotion, you know, I want readers to get that from my books, but I just want them to feel like it was time well spent.
very important. Having just watched a Netflix movie, which I thought, why have I wasted my... For the first time ever, just watching this Netflix movie, which we're reviewing as part of Richard Fitzwilliam's analysis of movies, etc. I won't mention it because I always maintain, if you can't say anything good about something, don't say anything at all. But this particular movie, I even tried using the Netflix opportunity of running it at 1.5 times the speed. It was still as bad, even in that basis, to get through it. It's unbelievable, but never mind. That's another line entirely. Christine, obviously, we are in the world of the internet. That's why we're taking part in this particular thing through the web, etc. ChristineRaymonds.com presumably is the best place to go to find out all sorts of things, including being able to actually subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes. And I let that newsletter lax last year, but I will be revamping it this year, basically because I have lots of new things to share. You know, Finicky Eaters will be coming out. I'm starting a new series. There'll be another Hidden Springs book. There's all sorts of good stuff to look forward to. So yeah, sign up and be in the know.
Fantastic. Now, Finicky Eaters. You could actually say that's a pun on Finn once again, as opposed to actually just being particular. You know, I don't know. Is that people who actually sort of say, I would have to actually take every dill pickle off a hamburger if it was served and just put it to one side? Would it be a case of, no, I want to count every pea on the plate? Is it just a case of, I never eat vegetables and don't ask me about broccoli, as George Bush might have said?
In this case, it is a pun on her name. All of the Finn's Finds books will have her name somewhere in the title. So we had Finagled, we have Finicky Eaters, I've got a couple of other titles I've been tossing around. An Affinity for Murder, Coffin Conundrum. There's
The Big
all sorts.
Finish, perhaps? The Big Finish, to actually paraphrase
that I may, thing? Yes. I may save that for the final book. If the finale just goes on and on and on.
Exactly. You could actually double up on the basis of the dolphin. You know, in all sorts of ways. It's great. You know, use a PH as opposed to an FINN.
I think I have 26 titles that I've just sat down one day and just kind of wrote down what came to me. So now it's just writing the books to go with those titles.
Well, Finn and the Fighting Hamsters, I think, has to be written. I must actually find out what was happening on that basis. It's extraordinary. Jessica, would you like to put those last two questions to Christine at present? Obviously, third show, so becoming a seasoned pro now. So over to you, Jessica.
Thank you. I'd love to. Christine, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer link with us today?
Oh, absolutely. I love being here.
Yes. And will you be joining us again?
I hope so. If I'm invited, I will be here.
Absolutely. Christine, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self. Fantastic fit. No. You set a train of thought coming up here into all sorts of wonderful ways. And I think we actually talked about this beforehand, but I know we're going off to speak to consumer expert Alice Beer in a few moments. But from your own point of view, Is that the Elvis Presley song Kentucky Rain, is it suitable? Because I always thought that was a romance happening. You know, Elvis sort of wandering through the streets, basically looking for his lost love, and he never quite finds her with the Kentucky Rain keeps falling down. Does it still resonate?
I'll just admit it here. I am not an Elvis fan. Sorry. I have a friend who is just loves him to pieces. So she makes up with enthusiasm what I don't have. But as far as the Kentucky Rain goes, yes, this time of year it's very cold and dreary, and yes.
We might work that in some way, shape, or form. It's so much better than the Colonel's original recipe, and indeed all sorts of Colonel Sanders material, which again you probably say nothing to do with us. Just keep that.
I'm a vegetarian.
Well, exactly. Best way forward. Christine Raymond, author extraordinaire, many thanks indeed, huge thanks, and I'm also happy 2021, because obviously we're still in that sort of period of time where we're thinking it's exciting times and so on. Even more exciting, yes. I'm gonna say, if you're in Washington, but let's not go there because that's another issue entirely. And Jessica, you'll be with us again, I think, in a few moments. We'll be talking with Arthur Weingarten again, so you'll be back with us shortly. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Christine Raymond and Jessica Burtis, huge thanks, keep on keeping on, and bye for now.
Thanks so much. Bye Jessica.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong. Let you go, never knowing what went wrong. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes. Searching for you in the cold Kentucky rain, in the cold Kentucky rain. Showed your photograph to some old gray-bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I'd find you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes.
Rain in my shoes.
Searching for you.
It is that time of New Year's resolutions as we continue through January, and it would seem that financial resolutions are very much to the fore, with more than a quarter of UK consumers wanting to improve their financial awareness in 2021. Now, to address this, we're delighted to welcome two fabulous individuals. First of all, consumer champion extraordinaire, the fabulous Alice Beer. How are you, Alice?
I'm very good. How are you doing? Happy New Year to you.
I'm good and delighted that you're back with us, Alice, because you have actually been down with the virus itself, really, I gather, over the festive period.
So, I have. Yes, yeah. I was officially out of isolation on the 26th of December, on Boxing Day, but that was the very day that I took to my bed for another 2 weeks. So it's been quite an ordeal, but I'm very lucky, touching all sorts of wood around me, that I'm feeling much, much better as each day goes by.
The universe needs you, Alice Beer. That's the bottom line. We need you. You're essential. It's important for the whole thing. And clearly the universe also needs the head of digital transformation at Santander UK as well, Andy Warren. How are you, Andy?
Hi there. Very good. Thank you.
Good. Excellent. Alice, let's turn to yourself first, because this little survey obviously suggests a number of key things. And I must admit, I initially sort of had a slight nervous twitch when I saw the words take back control. Maybe it's my Dominic Cummings moment, I don't know. but it's nothing to do with that. But it is a case of obviously, if we're more comfortable with knowing the cost of our household bills, knowing what's going out, knowing our outcomes, etc., then we're probably better able to budget and probably feel calmer as a result.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone can deny the massive effect on your mental health of getting a grip of your finances. But just saying that, get a grip of your finances, would have even me, you know, burying my head under the pillows. It's a very, very scary thing to do, to actually sit down and look at what's going into your bank account and what's coming out of your bank. And obviously, you know, Santander have done this research over the past few months. Of course, it's going to show that it's been a ridiculously tough year. Globally, billions have been knocked off all our economies. But even though our individual household finances have been affected, there is good news. This is the time that we have decided we need to talk about our finances. We need to share with the other people in our households what's going on in our individual bank accounts or how much our spend is. And we need to get a grip with our financial know-how and look at what's going in and out of our bank accounts and not be taken by surprise by household bills or sudden phone bills or utilities that come in and just, whoa, where did that come from? And why is that so expensive this month? This is the good news that we're talking about it.
It's particularly interesting that younger adults who one would generally say are probably more savvy when it comes to digital technologies and so on. I mean, I gather that's a sweeping generalization, but they seem to be less familiar than their parents or grandparents with respect to some of the findings here. 4 in 10 actually under 34 said they had no idea or could only make a guesstimate of the cost of their utility bills such as gas, electricity and water. Whereas obviously those over 55 knew the exact figures within £10 or thereabouts.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? And that probably tells you, I think we've had three generations who've dealt with finances in different ways. So in my parents' generation, now in their 80s, they always had their bank manager and they never went overdrawn because they managed their money. You know, there wasn't much coming in and accordingly, there wasn't that much going out. My generation, I think we've been the worst. I think we've been messy. We've buried our heads in the sand and ignored what's coming in and haven't faced up to how much we're spending and in what areas we're spending it. But I think the next generation, the 18 to 34 year olds, which this survey said, you know, 42% of them want to improve their financial know-how. This is great. They are the generation who've all got online bank accounts. They've possibly, most of them got apps where they can, you know, immediately flick on their phones and see what money they've got in their account and pay something. But also they're passively paying their bills. So they don't get envelopes through the door that they have to open and write a check for. So I understand why they don't know how much is coming out of their account each time they pay a bill, because it happens without them having to do anything.
This, of course, is the classic scenario. And if I can bring in Andy at this particular aspect in terms of being ahead of digital transformation, I have this sort of notion, Andy, that you go into a telephone booth somewhere and actually sort of suddenly become digital transformation man, which is great.
Yeah, no idea how close to the truth that is.
Very close.
There you go. But in terms of the whole essence of physically writing a check and keeping a monitor of that system, I mean, I must admit, I hold my hand up. I still tend to prefer the old-fashioned check writing thing, although it's more and more difficult to do that these days because many more of our utility services, etc., are looking for direct debits. They're looking for other aspects as well, and clearly there is that virtual sense that it's just actually happening. So presumably education is critical here, Andy, in terms of ensuring that we do keep abreast of what's happening.
Absolutely, and the research did highlight three quarters of people said that, you know, it should be something that's part of the curriculum. I've got two young children myself, and I really hope that, you know, we're able to give them the tools that they need in life to make sure that they can manage their finances as effectively as possible. As Alice said, you know, this really links to mental health as well, longer term down the line. So we need to make sure that we're finding the right tools for all the different generations. We've seen more people look to adopt online services, particularly over the last year or so, and offering greater control in our mobile app, taking away some of that hard work, as you said. I have distinct memories of my mum using writing down and keeping a track of the checks in the back of the checkbook. That's an incredibly manual example. Wow. But this is something that our customers have asked for, and My Money Manager is something that we've built for our customers, by our customers. It's really simple to download. If you've already got the Santander app, just go in today, switch it on, and it will start to take all of that hard work away for you.
And for those listeners who might be in the wilds of Lincolnshire or Yorkshire or indeed other parts of the country and so on, and they say, it's all very well talking about another electronic app, etc. We don't even have decent broadband here. Have you got any advice or help for them?
Yeah, so customer choice is really important to us. Online's not something for everyone, and we have a great team of colleagues across the country that are there to provide the same level of personal support.
Okay, Alice, turning back briefly to your good self, for those folk who are actually struggling to get their finances back in order, what are your words of wisdom, Alice? Because I know that, as I've said in the past, really, we all need really a virtual Alice beer to actually pop up as a sort of virtual hologram to actually say, this is what I do now. But what would you suggest in this particular case?
Well, I think if you are, there are different levels of people. I think if you need to just, if you know you need to dust down your finances and have a look and be honest about it, then just go on to your online bank account or have a look at your bank statements and go through them and work out what's coming in and what's going out. And obviously, Andy's been talking about apps that do this for you, but you really do need to just be brave and sit down and look at the grim reality. And you may find that actually you don't have enough money at the end of the month to pay a bill. But at least you know that. And at least you can face up to it and take action, either by cutting down in another area or by organising with a person who you're going to owe money to at the end of the month to manage that finance in a different way. There's, of course, another level where people have lost their jobs through coronavirus. Household finances have been drastically altered and they need to get help in managing debt. And the first step is going to talk to somebody, and you can talk to somebody at Citizens Advice on the phone or online, or less easy now in person. And they are there as a service to our nation, to our community. They're there for this very thing, and they can make sure that you're getting the help you need. It might be that you're entitled to a grant or a payment or some financial help that you're not accessing, which will make your life so much easier and take away some of the mental stress. And that's really, really important at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy, just a general indicator, where would you point people on the web to actually access the details of Santander or indeed this Money Champion Help Assistant?
So if you've got the app already, just open it up and you'll find it there, ready for you to switch on. If you'd like to get more information about it, just go to santander.co.uk and look for My Money Manager.
And have you kept safe yourself, Andy? I mean, obviously, we focus very much on Alice, but have you been healthy over the last few months? Or is it a case of, no, I'm with Santander, I'm obviously superheroic?
Well, our family have taken the guidance from the government very seriously. So, you know, we've followed the steps and we've stayed healthy, albeit a little bit harder work having two small children at home.
Indeed. Well, as I say, delighted to speak to both of you today. Alice, as I said at the start, delighted that you're back and healthy and keep on keeping on. The universe needs you. I'll maintain that forever. So two final questions to put to both of you. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us this morning? Has it been okay for you, Alice?
Oh, it's been wonderful. You are in my wardrobe with me, and it's been a lovely thing. I feel I can cozy up against my lambswool sweaters with you quite comfortably.
There you go. And I know there were many a time back in the day where bank managers in wardrobes was a whole new area, but I won't even go there. it's like a carry-on scenario. Andy, what about yourself? Good for you?
Quite the opposite from Alice, not in a cozy warm wardrobe. I'm actually sat in a cold garage. But the wonders of the wonders of radio hiding that.
Exactly. It just adds that quality to the whole thing. So I take it you'll both return in 2021. Can we look forward to inviting you back?
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be lovely if we could come up and have a coffee at the same time?
Whoa. This is crazy stuff there, Alice. My word. Alice Mia, consumer champion, and Andy Warren, head of digital transformation at Santander UK. Huge thanks and happy 2021, people.
Yes, may it definitely get better.
Many thanks, and to you too.
Now, we've often said, whether we're speaking to listeners or students or in any way, shape or form, human beings on the planet Earth, trust your gut, trust your gut feeling. And certainly when we start talking about the importance of the gut, maybe it's time to look at the gut stuff. And who better to actually talk about the gut stuff than those two awesomely talented twins, whether they're actually spinning records, doing all sorts of other marvellous things, and indeed being the official DJs for Love Island. We're delighted to welcome the founders of the gut stuff. Of course, that's the fabulous Lisa and Alana, how are you guys?
We're good, thank you. Yeah, currently not spinning any records in our house, but yeah, I think I've forgotten how to do it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I know, it's old school vinyl. I thought vinyl was having a comeback, you see, so I thought I'd use the term deliberately to work through that process.
Yeah, but you could actually learn on vinyl, so it was, yeah, you've got it bang on there.
there you go. So, Lisa, let's turn to you first. I mean, talk about the gut stuff. I mean, this is something which clearly ties into our sense of well-being, our importance. And we often forget, in an era where every so often we're looking at the latest fad diet, you know, is it 2+5? Is it 5+2? Is it meat only? Is it veg only? You know, maybe we just need to listen to our inner systems to get the best results, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually kind of hit the nail on the head there. I think, you know, firstly, all of these like detoxes and cleanses, you know, we've been given a fantastic, hopefully, in many cases, we've been born with livers that can do that job for us, and we don't have to expend a lot of money on expensive potions to do that for us. But I think secondly, you know, we have to empower ourselves with the knowledge. You know, if Alana and I as identical twins can't be sold the same diet, then no one can. I think, you know, we have to start treating nutrition with the kind of respect that it deserves, and our bodies, with, you know, we do them a disservice when we focus on solely weight loss, because when we, you know, put the right things into them, our health and well-being can be much improved.
So, Alana, let's turn to yourself then. In terms of the origins of the gut stuff, was this something which you thought, yeah, when I was sharing a womb with Lisa, this was what I actually had in mind? This was the grand plan?
Absolutely not. If you told us 5 years ago we were a gut health business, we would have said, what's your gut? So yeah, we actually, obviously, we're DJs, and we volunteer for Twin Research, which is the research facility at King's College here in London. And we sort of became their chief guinea pigs, I think mainly because we were up for any of the experiments. And in 2015, we were asked to have our guts analysed, and we were going to be the first twins to have done that. And we went through sort of rigorous experiments and eating lots of different things at different times, and hooked up like the matrix, and they found out from our bodies that even though we have 30%, even though we have 100% the same DNA, we actually only have 30% of the same gut bacteria. And as we were going through the research, you know, we were speaking to, you know, everyone, and from, you know, the head of Parkinson's research to psychologists, and we realized that the gut was, you know, really super important to overall health and wellness. And actually, it really turned on its head everything that we thought we knew about nutrition, and you know, people seeing health as just not being ill, and wellness as, you know, standing on your head drinking green smoothies. It was this sort of like unattainable thing, and that really got the fire in our bellies, and we wanted to really educate people around the science of what health and well-being actually is.
I mean, Lisa, I must admit, Green Smoothie sounds like an ideal name for a band that could actually open up a whole new version of sets across the world. But from your own point of view, I mean, when you sort of, as Alana said there, you're told that people want to analyse your guts, you would have thought, what more do you want us to give to the business of show, for goodness sakes? Were you trepidatious about that? Were you fearful? Was it a case of, oh, what the hey, whatever?
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, curious is probably the right word. Alana actually had arthritis when we were younger, and the doctors couldn't work out why. And our health pathways, obviously, despite having the same DNA, have been really, you know, opposite in some cases when we were growing up. So I actually was supposed to do medicine at uni and then went to drama school. So I guess it was kind of scratching a niche there and keeping the parents happy. Yeah, it was scary, especially as well, like, you know, we just knew that we wanted to speak to the audiences that we were reaching, DJing and, you know, potentially a Love Island audience, to about what we were learning, because they were the ones that we thought were most susceptible to these fad diets and detoxes. And actually we wanted to teach them that, you know, about learning about science and giving that the weight that it deserves. So yeah, we knew we kind of, that's why we kept doing it and had the fire in our bellies, really. But yeah, it was a very kind of strange double life that we led for a very long time.
I mean, you got your duodenum, you got your ileum, you got all those other things that are going in there. You don't know where are you going to start with this whole thing? Alana, without going into the mechanics and the biology of the whole sort of system, what advice would you actually say would be the simplest to provide for somebody who's listening to this, who actually says, well, actually, you know, I might have been suffering from Crohn's or all sorts of other situations or problems and challenges with my gut, or just IBS and so on. What advice would you provide for them?
Yeah, so we have to be really careful when we're talking about clinical issues. So people that have gut issues, you know, it's very different advice, and that's very personalised, and they should speak to their GP for that. But when we're talking about general gut health, so what we're really talking about is the microbiome. So all these gut bugs that live in our gut. And that is about adding stuff in rather than restricting things. So thinking about upping your fibre, you know, 9 out of 10 of us aren't getting enough fibre, and fibre actually feeds those good bacteria. So we should be getting the recommended amount is 30 grams of fiber a day, which is actually quite a lot when you think that, you know, a portion of broccoli is 2.5 grams. So that's super important. Fiber is like the unsung hero of nutrition, and we're sort of here to bring it back, really. On that same vein about adding stuff in is variety. The science points to that we should be aiming to have 30 different plant-based varieties a week. So that's fruit, veg, nuts, seeds, legumes. And that also helps to up your fibre as well. So I think those two bits of advice, but the main one that we always say is doing just that, you know, looking at the science and the facts. And, you know, on our website, we sort of lay it out in ways that even we could understand. So hopefully everyone will be able to. And actually looking at the biology of the gut, that it's not just your stomach, and how important all these gut bugs are as well to overall or whole health.
Well, certainly looking at the gutstuff.com with the mission statement, our aim is to empower gut health in everyone. Now let's get started. Honestly, I mean, just that pun alone is just worthwhile going to the system. I mean, Lisa, has this changed the way in which you personally view your own health and issues with respect to all the things that are developed within the way we actually look at diets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think it's probably more behaviourally and the way I kind of think about it, because before, you know, I used to always think about restriction, like cut out dairy, gluten, alcohol, fun. And now I think a bit more as adding things and actually just being a bit more conscious about how brilliant our bodies are and how they, you know, they really do work for us if we serve them well. And, you know, obviously DJing, we were on stage at 3 a.m, we'd get on flights and we'd get back up and go to work at 7. And I think, you know, we're a bit more, yeah, we're a bit kinder to our bodies, should I say, and focusing not just on nutrition, but, you know, all the other well-being things that people harp on about, sleep, moving right, you know, getting out in nature. Our microbes love all of those things too. So yeah, I guess just making time for all that is probably what I've changed the most. Yeah,
those friendly bacteria, whether you're actually going to DJ at the UEFA Champions League final or indeed Edinburgh's Hogmanay Street Party. 75,000 people, way before social distancing came into place there. That's not going to happen these days. But still, what the hey. I would obviously recommend, once again, thegutstuff.com. Also, well worth checking out themactwins.com. But are there any other places, Alana and Lisa, you'd suggest people should go to find out further information about what we've been chatting about today?
Yeah, I mean, do you know the NHS website, and there's loads of other like great websites. I would just, you know, make sure that you are going to unbiased sources. We actually have on our site as well, like loads of different links to other sites, particularly in the I've Got a Problem section. So yeah, there's loads of incredible information out there. We are about to launch a book on the 14th of January here, and then it's in America and Australia in February. So yeah, and that's got 18 of the top experts in the world in their field. So everyone from dermatologists to immunologists and loads of incredible people. So yeah, that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely outstanding. And I've got to ask the question, any relation to Colin McFarlane, the former Manchester City and Middlesbrough assistant trainer, who I believe was also Scottish, or is it just a case of, no, that's another branch of the McFarlane clan entirely?
Yeah, Alan Clark clan is very big. But yeah, not a direct relation.
We do have an uncle Colin, but yeah, he was a joiner, not a nuns of football.
Well, there you go. Just wanted to clarify. Two final questions then, girls. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. A Zoomer, did you say?
Well, that's the brand we're calling this, basically. I feel it's not really a phoner, because although we use it in phone lines.
Yeah, a Zoomer. Yeah, I love that.
It's not a FaceTime thing, but it's a Zoomer. So that's why we're using it.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. And I can tell that you've done your research as well, which I love. So that's good. And you already know about gut health, which is brilliant.
I couldn't face my students without actually sort of flagging up my original degree in biology. So there you go. It's all important. I won't go on about how if you stretched all the intestines out, you could probably cover half a tennis court and so on, because that's a different line entirely.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of our favourite facts. The other one is that 90% of your serotonin, which is your happy hormone, is produced in your gut. So, yeah. It's all good.
As opposed to it's all gut, which is the line entirely. So the next critical question, the final one today, is Alana and Lisa McFarlane, will you be kind enough to return? Will you come back and keep us appraised of good gut health?
Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully we can come in person next time.
Wow, that was exactly. Or at least with visors and masks. Lisa McFarlane and Alana McFarlane, huge thanks indeed. Congratulations and keep on keeping on.
Thanks so much, Alex. Thank you.
Man Bojangles and he danced for you in worn out shoes, silver hair, a ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoe, he jumped so high, jumped so high. Then it lightly touched down, middleman a cell in New Orleans he was, down and out. He looked to me to be the eyes of age, as he spoke right out. Talked of life, talked of life. He laughed, slapped his leg a step. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles. Said his name Bojangles and he danced the lick across the cell, grabbed his pants a better stance and jumped so high, clicked his heels, he let go a laugh, let go a laugh, shook back his clothes all around. Dance for those at minstrel shows and county fairs throughout the South. Spoke with tears of 15 years how a dog in here and traveled about. Dog up and died, he up and died. After 20 years, he still breathes. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles. Sit or dance now at every chance in honky tonk. We
for drinks and tips. But most of the time I spend behind these county bars, 'cause I drink so big. He shook his head, and as he shook his head, I heard someone ask, please. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, go on and dance. La 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 la